Praise the Lord. All right. All right, Revelation chapter 7. Are we ready for the recording? I'm going. Okay. Good to see you guys. Thank you, God. I feel the presence of God from worship. Thank you, God. All right, so let's do this. Revelation chapter 7. So what's happening here is, if you remember, those of you who were here last time, in Revelation chapter 6, the six seal judgments were released by the Lord. And so we're in the place right now that there's the storyline's going, right? It's like the angel is telling a story to John about what's going to happen in the future. And it's a story that has a progressive order and timeline. You know, it's you open the first seal, and then he opens the second seal, and after that, he opens the third. They go in order. It's a progressive story timeline. And what we have in Revelation chapter 7, and you'll see this in Revelation, it's like the angel hits pause on the progress of the story of what's happening, and he gives John some added information that's helpful for him, of course, us, to know of what's going on during this part of the story. You guys following me? Does that make sense? So in the first six seal judgments that were in Revelation chapter 6, one-fourth of the earth's population dies from the effects of war, famine, disease, and wild animals. That's what happens in Revelation chapter 6. During this time period, the saints, though, are going, we looked at this last time, Psalm 91 protection, will experience miraculous provision in the midst of the famine. We will operate in divine healing, in authority in healing. We'll have authority over wild animals. Again, you can read this in Psalm 91. And we're going to experience Psalm 91 protection. Although I want to make this point, you know, those things are promises that of grace that will be available. God's people will be operating in that during that time. But I really believe this. I believe the Bible also says we're going to experience persecution in the midst of this. I mean, we're going through hardship. But I believe even to we're going to have to choose to walk in faith to operate in these promises of miraculous provision, divine protection, authority over wild animals. Are you guys following what I'm saying? There's going to be a grace for that. I believe the body of Christ is going to be walking in great authority, in great faith in their identity in Christ. But, you know, again, I don't think that's automatic all the time. We have to choose to walk in our authority, just like today. Isn't that true? I mean, God gives us authority. The enemy attacks us, and we can roll over and let the enemy beat up on us, or we can stand our ground in our authority in Christ and rebuke the enemy. You guys with me? And I think it's going to be that same way in that season. There's going to be demonic attacks. There's going to be, famine and different things like that. Just like now, you know, we go through hardships at different times financially. We can stand in our authority on the promise of the Word of God and say, Father, we just call in your provision right now. And the Lord provides for us. But we're going to have to operate in faith. And I believe the body of Christ is going to be walking in maturity in this season. And part of it is going to be knowing how to stand in our authority and walk by faith and not by sight. So after we saw in the first six judgments, Revelation 6, that after the intercession of the martyrs in the fifth seal judgment, the judgments are, they escalate in severity and intensity, and they take on more of a supernatural order. And these judgments come directly against the wicked, not the righteous. Again, God is not punishing his people. He's not punishing us. There is no punishment for us because we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. You guys with me? We're standing in agreement with Jesus in this season. It's judgments being released against the wicked is what's happening. So that's just a quick recap of Revelation 6. And then in Revelation 7, I'm just giving you the context. John specifically sees 144,000 believers from the 12 tribes of Israel who are sealed with supernatural protection from God from the effects of these judgments. So let's go ahead and read that. Then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds so they did not blow on the earth or the sea or even on any tree. Can you imagine that? I mean, just think about that. wind is going on all the time, all over the planet. There's wind currents. You know, the meteorologists, you know, they're studying the wind currents to do the two-week forecast, you know, coming up in 2 weeks. What? I'm just picturing this. I mean, what happens when the wind across the whole earth just goes, and it's just still? Can you imagine? I mean, that in and of itself is a supernatural thing that's happening right there. How many of you know God's in control of the wind? God's, he is so in control of everything that's happening. And then, so it says, verse 2, and I saw another angel coming up from the east. He was carrying the seal of the living God, and he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea. He says, wait, what does he shout? Wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. And then it goes on from those different tribes, 12,000 from each tribe. And so that's what's happening right here, is divine protection. Specifically in context here, it's 144,000 messianic believers from Israel will follow Jesus and believe in Jesus. Now, I read an article in this week that was written in 2014 that estimated, they were talking about how many Jews are starting to come to believe in Yeshua, in Jesus, as Messiah. And they were just talking about how awesome it was, you know, over the last however many years. And they were excited, and they estimated the number of messianic believers in Israel to be around 15,000. So if that's the case, what's going to happen in Israel among Jewish people to go from 15,000 today to 100, at least we know 144,000 are servants of Jesus that are sealed right here. What's going to happen? That's a lot of souls getting saved, isn't it? That's a lot of souls. There is going to be great revival in Israel. And of course, we want to pray for Israel. We want to pray for the 15,000 messianic believers that are there right now. God, strengthen their witness like you did the early Jewish apostles in Jerusalem to proclaim your word with signs and wonders, with great boldness. And let it be again that we see the book of Acts happen in Israel. Amen. And there's a great revival there. So I think the angel here is encouraging John. He's like, man, there's going to be a whole lot of people that believe in Israel. There's going to be great revival there. I want to show you something from Ezekiel chapter 9. Do I have that on your notes? Okay, good. Ezekiel chapter 9. This, again, a lot of the things you see happening in Revelation already happened. There were types and shadows of these things that happened already in the Old Testament. And so a lot of times to understand what's happening in the book of Revelation, you can look back in the Old Testament and get understanding for when God did something similar to that before. So in Ezekiel chapter 9, Israel is in a season of judgment from the Lord. And the Lord thundered. You know, Ezekiel's seeing this vision. He's in Jerusalem in the temple. It says, the Lord thundered, bring on the men appointed to punish the city. Because God had decreed, that's it, I'm done. Man, they won't repent, it's judgment time. I'm going to punish the city. And then he says, tell them to bring their weapons with them. Now these are... And then it says, six men soon appeared from the upper great gate that faces north, each carrying a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man dressed in linen who carried a writer's case at his side. These are angels is what they are. These are six angels that God has commissioned in Jerusalem in the time of Ezekiel. God has commissioned, he says, bring forth the six angels to carry out the judgment, the punishment against Jerusalem and the inhabitants thereof because of their sins. And there was a guy, another angel dressed in linen who was following them, and he had a writer's case at his side. So I just picture him with this tablet and a pen in his hand. The seventh angel is, okay? They all went into the temple courtyard and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel rose up from between the cherubim where it had rested and moved to the entrance of the temple. What he's seeing here is the glory of God that was in the temple in Jerusalem. It's the glory is departing from the temple and departing from Jerusalem because of Israel's sins. Judgment is coming against them, and he's seeing this happen. And the Lord God called to the man dressed in linen who was carrying the writer's case. He said to him, walk through the streets of Jerusalem, and listen to this, put a mark on what? On the foreheads of all who weep and sigh because of the detestable sins being committed in their city. Then I heard the Lord say to the other men, follow him through the city and kill everyone whose forehead is not marked. Show no mercy, have no pity, kill them all, old and young, girls and women and little children. But listen to this, but do not touch anyone with the mark. Begin right here at the temple. So they began by killing the 70 leaders. So we see what's happening here is these six angels come to bring judgment against Israel in Jerusalem because of their sins. But there was a remnant of believers in Jerusalem who were in mourning. They had responded to the message of the prophets, warning about judgment, calling people to repentance. They had repented. They were mourning and crying out to God. They were like, God, have mercy on us. God, forgive us for their sins. And I bet you to them, because they were such a small minority, such a small remnant, I wonder if it seemed like nobody's listening to us. Nobody's listening to the prophets. It's not working. You know, we're crying out, God, have mercy. We're mourning over our sins. We're responding to the message, but nobody else is responding. Even the leaders, it says, the leaders aren't responding. They're persecuting the prophets who are bringing this message. They're like, it doesn't look like it's working. But how many of you know God was listening? God was paying attention. And he says, no, it always pays off to respond in intercession, crying out for mercy in repentance when God brings warning. Always works. Even if it's like here in America, we cry out, oh God, have mercy. Even if the nation never repents, it will pay off for you and your household because you repented. You guys with me? I mean, this is the message of the scriptures. So judgment time comes and it looks like, oh, we didn't avert the judgment. Man, it's coming against the city. But God's like, but you spared your own life. You spared your own life. God says, mark the ones who are mourning. Put a mark on their forehead. And I believe this is a foreshadow of what's happening in Revelation chapter 6 as these judgments are being poured out. And now they're escalating just a little bit. The trumpet judgments are going to start. And they go to a whole nother level, the judgments do, in severity and intensity. And just before that breaks out, he's like, wait, stop. Don't do it yet. First, go through and mark all the servants of the Lord in Israel. And God promises there's going to be at least 12,000 of them from each tribe. We know that from the scripture. You guys following me? Does it make sense? Okay. I think that's what we're seeing happening right here in Revelation chapter 6. God marks his servants. And I think it's significant that he mentions, you know, there are going to be believers in Israel. God's not done with Israel. God's not done. God's plans for Israel, all his promises for them are still intact. All right, and then we'll continue here. I believe I want to just make this comment too. Here it's talking about Israel, you know, these 144,000 people from the tribes of Israel that are sealed with God's divine protection from the judgments. But you know what? I believe what we see with these guys, I personally believe all the servants of the Lord are going to experience God's divine protection. Like that, whether they be Gentiles or Jews, you know, those who are faithful to the Lord. Here, he's just specifically zeroing in on the ones from Israel. But I believe what we see here will, God's people all over the world will experience this type of thing as well. God will seal believers to protect them from judgment, as Israel was protected during the plagues of Egypt in Goshen. And also, they were protected from the death of their firstborn. You guys remember that in the book of Exodus? Yeah, the plague comes. Was that meant to come against God's people? No, it was meant to come against the enemy, right? And so, but they received a protective mark on their doors, right? Remember, they had to kill the lamb, take the blood, and wipe it on their doors. And there was a protective mark. And when the death angel came, when he saw the mark, he passed over their household. You guys see that? So you see this pattern. I believe that's the type of thing that's happening here in Revelation chapter 6 in the season when these judgments are escalating. Okay, so let's continue. Then we see in verses 9 through 17, saints from every nation, not just Israel now, every nation, there are saints who are standing in victory before God's throne. And before I read this, I want to read one verse from Matthew 24. It's a prophecy from Jesus. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached where? In the whole world. As a testimony to how many nations? Yeah, to all nations. And then the end will come. What's about to happen, okay, is the trumpet judgments are about to be released. When we get to trumpet judgment number 7, that's the return of Jesus, okay? And it annihilates his enemies in, in Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon, etc. And he sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem and over the whole earth. But you know, so that's just about to happen. We're about to start the trumpet judgments. Trumpet number 7 is the return of Jesus. The end will come. The end of the age. That's what that is. And right before it happens, John sees this prophecy fulfilled. So let's go ahead and read it. He says, after this, I saw a great crowd, a vast crowd, too great to count, from how many nations? Okay, every nation and tribe and people and language. That's the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14 right there. So John's seeing it. They were standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. So these are guys, people, they've died. They died in the tribulation, in this 7-year, in this tribulation period, the great tribulation. And they're standing before the Lord, clothed in white, in victory, proclaiming the faithfulness and the salvation of Jesus. And the victory of Jesus. And it says they're standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar. Imagine the sound of that. I just would love to hear it. A great roar. How many people is it when you have representatives from every single nation and tribe and language? It's a lot of people. What is it when they're all in unity and they are pumped up? They are standing before the throne of God and they are excited. They are feeling the victory. They have the victory and they're shouting. It says they're shouting with a great roar is what it sounded like. Their voices are thundering. What are they so excited about? What are they shouting and proclaiming? I just imagine, you know, heaven being filled with the roar of this shout. What are they saying? They're saying, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. They're proclaiming the salvation of Jesus. That's what they're doing. To me, it gets even more cool. And all the angels were standing around the throne. Because remember, these are the saints who are singing this. These are people. The angels are just there. But listen, and they're all pumped up. They're proclaiming the salvation of Jesus. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. So, you know, these are some pretty powerful beings we're talking about right here. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. And they sang, amen. I mean, I think that's so cool. That is like the four living creatures, the 24 elders, all these angels. They hear the saints worshiping Jesus and they go, amen. I agree with that prayer. That was an awesome prayer. Amen. That's what they do. The worship of the saints is so moving to them that there's this impulsive response of worship to agree with it. They say amen, and then they add to it blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you're the one who knows. And then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. So that's that within that final 3.5-year period. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. Never again will they be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd, for he will lead them to springs of life-giving water. You'll see that at the end of the book of Revelation. I talked about that this morning, actually. And he will, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Because they're coming out of some pretty intense experiences, these guys. The reason they're there, a lot of them died prematurely. You know, this is probably martyrdom. It's probably some stuff that they've walked through. But they're not standing before the Lord as broken people. They're standing the Lord whole, victorious, filled with joy, filled with faith, filled with hope, proclaiming with excitement the salvation of our God. Because even they know at this season, they're like, trumpet judgments are about to start, and we're coming back with him to the earth, and we're going to reign with him forever and ever and ever. Amen? So what's going to happen, again, like we saw with Israel, if there's 15,000 right now, approximately, Jewish believers in Israel, Messianic believers in Israel, and there's going to be at least 144,000. There has to be some serious move of the Holy Spirit to get that number up to 144,000 believers. But what we see happen in Israel, we also see happening in all the nations, because there's going to be great revival in the nations to get us from where we are today to the point where there are believers from every single tribe, every nation. There are no unreached people groups. There's a lot of unreached people groups left. But we're going to get to the point, God's going to do it, where there's none left. There's people saved from every people group, so they're reached. At least one from every people group, from every nation. Amen. So I want you to see this picture in the book of Revelation. As you see, like, it's like the best and the worst, you know, together. It's like you see the wrath of the Antichrist and the rage of the devil and the wickedness of sinful human beings. At the same time, you see the saints in maturity and in victory, and you see the divine protection, and you see great revival, not only in the Gentile nations, but even happening in Israel. So you see the church walking and standing in victory even as the Antichrist rages. Okay, so let's go on to chapter 8. Let's do the first 5 verses of chapter 8, and then we'll take a break. Next thing that happens is now he's going to break the seventh seal. The seventh seal judgment is the unleashing of the trumpet judgments. So, you know, you open seal number 7, and the 7 more trumpet judgments come forth out of it is what ends up happening. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, listen to this verse, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. Contrast that with what we just heard, the great roar happening in chapter 7, verse 10. I mean, I just imagine this. I believe the seventh seal is open. That judgment is opened in response. We're going to see it in just a second. In response to the prayers of the saints, not only the martyrs in the fifth seal judgment, but the martyrs that are worshiping and proclaiming the salvation and the victory of Jesus in heaven, God responds to those prayers. He opens the seventh seal. So I just imagine this shout, Jesus, Jesus. It's just like shaking the heavens, you know. Jesus, Jesus. He opens the seventh seal, and it's like silence. Can you imagine? I mean, that is like eerie. That's awesome in an eerie awesome, you know, kind of both. But there was silence throughout heaven for about a half an hour. And I'm just trying to put myself in their shoes. I'm thinking, they're like, oh my goodness, it just happened. He just released the trumpets, and we know what trumpet 7 is. There's no turning back. We're here. We were right around the corner from the return of Jesus and the total victory of Jesus over the nations. The fulfillment of God's plan from the beginning of Genesis. I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and they were given 7 trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up. You know what the law of the Spirit is? What goes up must come down. The prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar. And what did he do? He threw it down upon. Oh, there, I still got mic. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. And then, of course, the seven trumpet judgments are about to be released, which we'll get into in next session. But here's what I want to show you from here. I believe that the prayers of the saints for justice and the worship of the fifth seal and the worship of the victorious saints crescendo together in verses 3 through 5, triggering the release of the seven trumpet judgments of God, of God's wrath against the wicked, culminating in Jesus' return at the end of the age. And, of course, what goes up, the prayers of the saints, must come down, which is God's supernatural response. Do you guys see it? I want you to see this. So, you know, we have the water park, right? Splash Central. You guys, you know, they have that kiddie water park and they have that big bucket that fills with water, right? So what does everybody know is about to happen when they see that huge bucket filling up with water and it begins to tilt? And there's, you know, I don't know if it does at Splash Central. Other water parks I've been to, you hear the bell start going ding, 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 right? What does everybody know is going to happen? You know, all the little kids and me, if I'm in the kiddie pool, I run over because I know water's about to come out, right? Once that thing fills to a tipping point, it's all coming out and it's going to come crashing down. And of course, I like to be under it. And so we go over there and we know it's going to tip over and pour out. Listen, guys, this is what's happening, why God's building the prayer movement all over the earth right now. We are coming to this point in history. We're going to be leading up to it, and the prayer movement's only going to get bigger, and the incense, a great amount of incense, the prayers of the saints, the worship of the saints, it's going to rise, it's going to rise, it's going to rise, and then God's going to take that, and he's going to respond supernaturally to our prayers, and he's going to throw fire upon the earth, is what he says. He throws fire on the earth, thunder crash, lightning flash, a terrible earthquake, the seven judgments, and the return of, culminating in the return of Jesus at the end of the trumpet judgments. Okay? I'm telling you, if you want to be in the middle of what God is doing, you need to be engaging in worship and prayer with the body of Christ. You need to be a part of this great prayer movement that God's building all over the earth. And my opinion, if you want to make it with the Lord through the difficulty of the season we're coming into, you're going to have to be nourished in the prayer movement. How many of you know, those of you who participate in Friday night prayer, it nourishes your faith, doesn't it? I mean, you come there, we pray, God releases power to do things, but we receive a lot. Even when God responds to our prayers, it builds our faith and he gives us insight into what he's doing, and it gives us joy and excitement to partner with him, and it actually empowers us to overcome the attacks of the enemy and to stand in victory and in righteousness. And it's that way. That's what it's like to be part of the house of prayer. God's house is a house of prayer globally. The whole church is a house of prayer, and we're going to see that happening more and more leading up to the return of the Lord. In fact, the prayers and the worship of the saints is what is going to trigger the release of these judgments that brings the return of the Lord and the ultimate victory of God's people on the earth. Amen? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to take like a little bit of a break. And what I want you to do is I want you to just take 10 or 15 minutes, get into small groups, and I want you to read Revelation 8 and 9 together.